that was an epiphany for me because for so long, everyone just told me as a doctor, you shouldn't think about money. That's like a dirty word that makes you not as good a doctor. And then here I was finally thinking about money, and I truly felt and continue to feel like I'm a better doctor for it. So with all of that said, that I've always liked to write, and I just kind of started an outlet for all of this newfound interest, which was a blog that I just started myself and just tried to figure out how to do it and started writing about my story and what I was doing to try and make things better. And I hadn't met, and I still haven't so far met anyone coming out of training in a worse from a numerical standpoint, financial situation than myself. So I thought, if I can figure this out and do it, just about anyone can.
Are you looking for opportunities to invest in passive real estate syndications? Join our exclusive community at FastFire Capital, where we're dedicated to bringing doctors and other high-income earners priority access to the best opportunities to invest in large multifamily and other types of commercial properties. Not only that, by being part of the community, you'll get exclusive access to webinars and Q&As, where you'll be able to raise your passive investing IQ. To join our community, go to semiretiredmd.com/syndication. Again, that address is semiretiredmd.com/syndication. When you daydream about your future, I'll bet it doesn't include you still working into your 60s and 70s. But unless you're actively taking steps to break the cycle of trading time for money, that's the future most of us face. Ignite Your Journey will lay out a roadmap to show you how to finally break that cycle and achieve true financial freedom. And it will show you how to do it in just 3 to 5 years, rather than the 20 or so it takes for traditional investments or saving in your retirement accounts. For more information, go to semiretiredmd.com/IYJ. Welcome to the Doctors Building Wealth podcast, the place where we talk about the strategies, habits, and mindset that separate wealthy docs from those who are not. We're your hosts, Leyte and Kenji. Welcome to another episode of the Doctors Building Wealth podcast. Today, we're really excited to welcome Jordan Frey to the show. He is the owner of The Prudent Plastic Surgeon, and we're really excited to dive into his business and hear more about his entrepreneurial journey. Hey, Jordan, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Excited to be here.
So, Jordan, for those people who maybe have never heard of The Prudent Plastic Surgeon before, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in your business?
Yeah, of course. So I am currently in Buffalo, New York. I'm a full-time plastic surgeon, and I'm specializing in breast reconstruction and microsurgery. And then I also started this, what started as like a little side gig and now has grown to something even more with The Prudent Plastic Surgeon. And that started about now like 3.5 or 4 years ago. And I was essentially finishing up my training. I did a 6-year plastic surgery residency and a 1-year microsurgery fellowship. And towards the end of my training, I realized that I was burnt out. And that was really surprising for me because I was always kind of just like a head down, follow the path kind of person and never really expected that to impact me. And I'd had the symptoms for a while and it took me a while to realize that they were burnout. But when I did, I was really surprised. And I started again with my wife to look back and try to identify what was going on. And for me, a huge part of that burnout was I recognized a lack of financial well-being, which I didn't even up to that point consider an aspect of well-being. But at that time, it was like everybody was telling me, oh, you're about to graduate. Things are going to be great. This is what you've been working for. You're going to start making all this money. Everything's perfect. And in my head, I was just like, no, you don't understand. Nothing is perfect. It's not all great. You know, I have $500,000 of student debt. I have credit card debt. I have no investments. I have no savings. I don't even know how to go about and do that stuff. Young family. Yes, my income is going to increase, but everyone's just telling me I need to buy like a really nice car, a really nice house, all this stuff that makes it seem like my expenses are going to increase even more. Like I'm never going to get out of this kind of vicious cycle. And I felt also really bitter towards medicine as a result, because it was kind of, I went in with this promise of like, okay, you're just going to get through this. And when you get out, it's all going to be worth it. And I was recognizing it wasn't just going to happen. you know, I had to do something to make that happen. But I saw my friends who weren't in medicine and had progressed so far in their lives. And so I felt bitter to medicine for taking my 20s. And anyway, after I sort of came to grips with those feelings, my wife and I again said, listen, we need to sit and actually do something about this. So we just started learning. We started reading some books. For the first time, learned about the concept of financial freedom, which just seemed like something that, which is ridiculous when you think about it as such a high income earner, but didn't even seem like something that was possible. Recognized that that was possible. Just learned the basics of saving and investing and things like that. And what happened after that, which was a few months after, was we just sat and very simply on a Word document wrote a financial plan, which was very basic, said we're going to save this amount of money, we're going to invest it this way, and because of that, when we get to this time point, we'll be able to be financially free. And at that point, I was still in training, still making the same amount of money. My wife, Selene, was getting her PhD, so it wasn't a ton of money. We had the same amount of debt, you know, no investments, nothing tangibly changed about our situation except for having this plan in place now. And what I recognized that happened pretty quickly was my burnout did get a lot better. And I stopped feeling as bitter towards medicine. I was able to refine the joy in medicine and what I was doing. And that was an epiphany for me, because for so long, everyone just told me as a doctor, you shouldn't think about money. That's like a dirty word that makes you not as good a doctor. And then here I was finally thinking about money. And I truly felt and continue to feel like I'm a better doctor for it. So with all of that said, that I've always liked to write, and I just kind of started an outlet for all of this newfound interest, which was a blog that I just started myself and just tried to figure out how to do it and started writing about my story and what I was doing to try and make things better. And I hadn't met, and I still haven't so far, met anyone coming out of training in a worse, from a numerical standpoint, financial situation than myself. So I thought, if I can figure this out and do it, just about anyone can. And so I'll start writing about it. And it just kind of took off from there and has been really exciting. So that was a long answer to your question.
I love it, because one of the things I heard in there is about how having this plan really changed. And it seems like it took you from a place of helplessness and feeling kind of out of control to giving you autonomy and a compelling future for what you were going to do. And it's so interesting how just creating a plan does that, right? You don't even need to change the circumstances, but you change your meaning about the situation, and you have a plan for how you're going to do it. So now you're in control again, and that actually changed it. So do you see this happen a lot? And can you talk to people who are maybe facing a you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of student debt, like most physicians coming out of training, and really help them think about how they would even create this kind of plan?
That's exactly what you said, is it's going from a feeling of helplessness to empowerment. And it's funny, because I look back and think all of the things that all of us overcome to go through medicine, just medical school and matching and going through this grueling residency and the stuff we do just treating patients on a daily basis. And yet at the same time, I just thought, there's no way I can conquer this finance thing. This seems way too difficult. Whereas what we're doing in a regular life is so much more difficult, but that disconnect does exist. So first, I would say is to recognize just how able you are and just how, you know, empowered you are to do all of this stuff. You know, you're just by basis of what you've been through, you've shown that you can overcome really difficult things. This is much less difficult than that. It's just something we're not super familiar with. And the concepts really are simple, is what I realized as I started to learn more and more. It's as simple as saving money. And we can talk more, again, get into the weeds and talk about all, real estate and how we've used that to accelerate the journey. But really simply, if you just save 20% of your money, your gross income as a rule of thumb, if you invest it in, like, say, index funds, and you work as a physician at a job that you enjoy for 20, 30 years, you know, you will reach financial freedom. Now, granted, you may want to accelerate it, or that path doesn't quite sound perfect for you. And so you can tweak all of the variables. But that's really all you need to do if you're someone that's like, look, I like my job. I like medicine. I just want to keep my head down, stay in medicine. Entrepreneurship is maybe something I'll dabble in, but not going to become a more than that. And you can reach it. So it's simple. It's just building these habits and automating the habits so that you can get back to focusing on what it is you are passionate about and enjoy doing, family, friends, your professional life, like that. So it's simple steps that you can take.
Now, one other thing I heard there is that you were talking about, well, I'm faced with all of this. I have this debt. Let me go start a blog and kind of share my journey, which is another amount of work that you just added to your plate. So
yes,
you know, because you invest in real estate, how much people say, you know, I'm a busy doc, I'm juggling my family, which you were doing well as well, right? Little mm-hmm. kids. And yep. then you've got $500,000 in debt and you're a new attending, right? And your wife also, you know, is just finishing up school. Like, how do you go about thinking about adding something else to your plate and not just say, well, I don't have enough time and not even start?
Yes, that's a great question. So there's a couple different ways to look at it. The one way that I look at it is, you know, there's always enough time for things. And the example I always use, which you guys can relate to, is having kids. And if you've never had kids, or if you do, you'll be able to understand this. But before you have kids, I remember Selene and I sitting and going, how are we going to have a kid? We're so busy. There's just no time. Like, what are we going to do? And then you have it, and somehow you figure it out. You shift around your priorities. Maybe some things that were not that important you thought were, you kind of jettison from your life, and you just figure things out. And then you have another kid, and you just go, oh my God, how are we going to deal with two kids now? We're barely getting by with one. And then you somehow make it work. And now we have three kids, and we went through the same process. So there is always time. I talk a lot about working in the margins of your life. You know, there's, for me, like in between OR cases, surgeons always love to complain that the turnover time between when you finish one case and start another one, because they have to clean the room and get it set up, is too long. And so rather than sit there and just stew in it, which when I'm sitting in the surgeon's lounge, most people are just complaining about that, I'll work, or I'll write a blog post or something like that. So that's one aspect. The second that I always talk about is, I think you want to find something within entrepreneurship that you're passionate about and that you enjoy. For me, writing and working on the blog doesn't feel strenuous. I enjoy it. It's a good outlet for me. Other people may sound like torture. But for me, I enjoy it. So it's something that it helps me relax. It helps me express myself. It's, you know, a part of my identity. And so it's really enjoyable. And that's what you want. And when you're looking for something to as a side gig, you know, it can really be anything. A lot of people have probably felt the same way as me and not thought, you know, this is something I should do. But we all go through hardships. We all have unique things about our lives that we can turn into something that other people can benefit from. And if you're passionate about it, it really doesn't feel like a lot of time. You don't mind spending time on it. And that's how it was for me and continues to be. And then the last thing I'll add to that is, as these things grow, there certainly will become parts of it that are necessary, but not the thing that you're passionate about. Like for me was creating social media graphics and this kind of stuff to post about the blog. And so you outsource that. And for me, that's my sister, who does a fantastic job of it. And obviously I pay her. But you know, so those things allow you to have the time to do it. Those are kind of the three things that I feel have helped me the most. Mm-hmm.
Now you talked about really enjoying writing blogs and getting that information out there, but ultimately, right, you're creating a business. And so mm-hmm. can you talk to us about building your business and some of the challenges you faced, and, you know, switching from not just blog writing, but now actually digging in and dealing with all the things business related?
Yeah, I think the first challenge that I faced was even just, again, we go back to mindset, but this, like, I felt like it's kind of wrong. I felt almost wrong getting paid for it, you know, because it started out that people would email me and say, hey, you know, I'd love to sponsor or be able to contribute this or that or something. And a lot of them were easy no's because it just didn't line up with the whole mission that I have. But then some do, and you have to get around that again because you've never done something like this, and it just feels almost off. But once you get around that, you do have to think, and you know, our, because you guys do a similar thing, our mission is to help other physicians to achieve financial freedom, to improve their financial well-being, to enhance their life as a physician, or to get out of it completely if that's what's right for them. And so in order to continue doing that mission, you do, I'll say, need to be compensated as well for it, because your time is very important and things like that. So you do have to get in that frame of mind. And you also have to think, how can I create income from this in a way that aligns with the mission? And so you want to think, how can I benefit the most people from what I'm able to offer? Is that, from the perspective of my blog, is that fostering introductions to people in the finance industry who can help doctors? Is that introducing them to concepts and courses, not unlike your own, that they can benefit from? Is that referring them to these other opportunities, whether it's like expert witness work or medical surveys or chart review, that they can use as a side gig? So you start just thinking in that way. And I think it's always really important that, as I mentioned a few times, you stay within the mission of what you're trying to do, because you never want to have discordant messages, because that's an easy way to lose trust. You always want it to be within what you're advocating and what, again, what your mission is. And so you have to have a well-defined mission. I encourage you even to write it out and things like that. And then again, you want to, the things you're not as comfortable doing, like, I think taxes is a big one. As you become a business owner, you want to be able to outsource to someone reliable who you can really trust. You want to understand what they're doing, of course, but it's probably, once you grow a bit, it gets more complicated. You don't necessarily want to be doing it yourself, because you don't want to miss things like making your estimated quarterly tax payments and those sort of things you may not be used to doing.
Are you dreaming of financial freedom? Don't wait for retirement to live on your terms. Zero to Freedom is our flagship online course and your 7-week guide to go from knowing nothing about real estate to confidently putting in your first offer on a cash flowing rental property. Join our course waitlist now for an exclusive $500 discount when you buy during the waitlist sale, and turn today's uncertain economy into your ticket to freedom. Visit semiretiredmd.com/ZTF and sign up today. Your future self will thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Dan Peck of Movement Mortgage. If you're an experienced investor, you'll know just how important it is to have a lender who knows how to work with investors. We've been working with Dan and his team for over 8 years now, and he's our go-to whenever we need a residential loan for our investment properties. Now, if you're new to investing, you might not know this, but your lender can sometimes be the difference between getting a great deal or completely missing out on it because your lender couldn't close the deal. Now, I did want to point out that Dan can help you not only with your investment properties, but also if you're looking to buy a primary residence or vacation home. So the next time you're looking for a residential lender, be sure to email Dan at srmd@movement.com to get a free consultation. And also let him know that you're part of the Semi-Retired MD community to get an exclusive discount on your next loan. Now back to the episode.
What do you think sets physician entrepreneurs apart from most other entrepreneurs out there?
I think we do have a very creative and innovative mind that others don't necessarily have. And I say that because before I started this, I definitely would not have considered myself an entrepreneur, a business savvy person, or someone who could be a, whatever you want to call it, small business owner, et cetera. But a lot of the things that I do in medicine and even just practice building, there's similar corollaries within entrepreneurship. So it really is similar. And I think it's because we're used to solving problems. We're used to identifying it in our patients within their pathophysiology, what's something deficient, how we can supplement it and help it. And those sort of just neural connections in our brain, it just makes sense to entrepreneurship, where it's constantly, it's problems that you're fixing, whether it's for other people that we're identifying a need or a pain point that we're alleviating, or it's within your own business that it's some, you know, quote unquote headache that comes up and that you're looking to solve and make better.
Mm. Where does real estate fit into all this? Because now I just want people to understand, right? You've got these little kids, you've got this new business you just started, you're a new attending, you're paying off all your debt. And then you started real estate like right then too.
We started right then. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So we, like I said, end of training, started learning about this stuff. We kind of had the basic framework in place. And then I just kept coming across the idea of real estate investing. And my first instincts were, is this as good as it seems? And so I did a lot of research, a lot of reading of just how does this work? And okay, this is, you know, legitimate and makes sense. And then just thinking, there's no way I can do this. I don't know. I've never done real estate. I don't know anything about it. I have no experience. And that comes back to the mindset piece. And same thing of going, hey, other people have done this, other physicians, you know, I've been able to be successful going through all of the stages of medicine that I need to. Why can't I do this? So before I even received my first attending paycheck, we had just moved to Buffalo, and I told Selneed, I think we should invest in real estate. And she was just like, what are you talking about? But to her credit, she said, I'll learn about it. And we did. And then within 3 or 4 months, and we took your course as well, which benefited us a huge amount because it was during that time that we did this. We bought our first property, which was just a small duplex. It cash flowed like $1,000 a month. And we self-managed it. And then slowly over the past few years, every year we've picked up two or three. This past year was just one, but we're up to 8 properties. It cash flows about $10,000 a month. We were continuing to look and grow. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. We still self-manage, but we've gotten really good at automating our processes, and we have an amazing team. We invest in Buffalo, so we are local to where we invest. And we have an amazing team, and it's been a really great experience. So that's become another business that we have and we run.
Yeah. And Selneed, I think, is leading that one. So talk about working as a couple.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. She definitely leads that one. I freely admit she is the better real estate investor than me. And she also just has a really good people sense. So it works really well in terms of the management and when we are selecting tenants and things like that. But yeah, it's fun. It requires us to stay on the same page a lot. It's been a very, now it's not as new because it's been a few years, but it was a very new way for us to kind of know each other and connect and working on the business side of things and running numbers together and, like, you know, having different opinions of things and coming together of how we can find a compromise of developing a real estate strategy. And even just literally, I guess 2 nights ago, we were up in the evening and spending a couple hours talking of what our future direction is and how we're planning to get into bigger multifamily properties and going through the numbers. And it's a lot of fun, and it becomes part of our vision holistically as well, because on the personal side, we're figuring out where we're going and where this is going to take us. And so I think it's a really exciting thing. I encourage, you know, everyone to try and do it together if you have a partner, as a partnership, and someone, it's okay if someone's more involved than the other, but just to have that, I do think it's a nice way to connect and get to know each other even more.
One thing I love about what you're doing in your business is you're showing also how real estate is coming and affecting your journey to financial freedom. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about that and how it kind of fits into this overall financial plan that you've built for yourselves?
Yeah, so it's a big part. We still do like a hybrid plan. You know, we invest in index funds in my 403B and everything like that. But real estate's a big part of it. And if you look, when we started, what we said is, okay, with our savings, we're going to take a third of it and pay off debt, a third of it invest in stocks and stuff like that, and a third of it and invest in real estate. And as we went on, we said, okay, the money we make from real estate, we're just going to roll back into real estate and just use it to invest more and more. And so from that initial split, now like 80% of our net worth is in real estate, just because of how we've been able to then use the tax benefits with accelerated depreciation and selling needs rep status to get more money to invest in it, that we've taken those the profits and invested that. Our properties through forced depreciation, which we learned from you guys, have gone up in value. So everything like that, it's really accelerated the wealth building for sure. And it has a very important role in that plan. And it's the same as anything. You know, we have a real estate strategy and we stick to it. And we know if we follow that we will be successful. It's easy to get kind of enamored by tempting other opportunities, but you really just have to stick to the numbers and stick to your plan, which for us, you know, we talk about a lot because people go, oh my gosh, you're cash flowing $10,000 a month. You know, I want to do that now. And we say, you know, it's not necessarily going to be exciting at first. You know, that first property is not going to get you to financial freedom. It was just $1,000 a month. And that really didn't change our financial situation at all. And a lot of people saw that and go like, you did all that work for this. And it's not just for that, because you have to see the whole picture and you have to see it growing. And yeah. And as I was starting that, I kind of went on a tangent, but for us, a big part of our plan was staying in Buffalo, investing in small multifamily properties in the beginning, because we just got to know that market so well and knew what worked, knew what didn't work, knew how to manage them. And so again, now we're talking about potentially shifting the plan, but we have to do it again in a way where we develop a strategy that we know works. We get to know it really well, that niche, and then stay within it.
Yeah. Awesome. That was going to be my next question, was whether or not you took the tax savings for bonus depreciation. And I understand, you know, your wife gets a real estate professional and put it back in. So it sounds like, and you know, again, with us too, same thing happened with real estate and our net worth. Like a majority of our net worth is in real estate, because it grows so quickly if you're reusing that same money over and over again.
Yeah. The other cool thing was for the first time this past year, like the 2022 tax savings that we got, we did take some of it and we bought it something for ourselves, our kids really, but we got like, they love playgrounds. And the one we had in our backyard was really decrepit. So we got rid of that and we bought like a $15,000, which is ridiculous for a playground, but it's just an incredible playground that they love. And so getting that was really cool, because it's kind of like that rich dad, poor dad thing, where it's like, instead of just buying it, put the money in real estate, then collect that money and buy it. And you keep making more money from the real estate in the future. So that was a cool thing for us to see come full circle.
Yeah, I think we've had so many students ask us, you know, at what point do I start using that money from our real estate portfolio? Because they get to the point that they're making 100 or 200 or 300,000, and they like kind of almost feel guilty. Like, I got to recycle it, right? And that's what I'm hearing you say. And yeah, there's no right answer, but certainly enjoying it along the journey does kind of cause a little more momentum, right?
Yes, exactly. Because you start to see what you're doing it for. And a lot of the ways that we still look at it is like, we're happy because we keep renovating and building up the properties that we have with some of the money as well, because we're looking at it long term. We're not planning to sell anytime soon necessarily, and if we did, it would be a 1031 exchange to another one. But all of this is kind of like cash flow for the future, is how we look at it. Because I'm still clinically full-time and really, really love what I do. So I have that paycheck coming in. We don't necessarily need that money. It's all just building it up and preparing it for when we do, because something could happen on a personal side or a professional side that just causes me to say, you know what, I'm not enjoying it the same way that I was. And so we want to have all that ready. And then using some of it along the way exactly helps you see what you're ultimately doing it for. And it kind of couples together nicely.
One more question I wanted to make sure we asked you, because so many people come in with loans, come out of med school, you know, with an average of 250,000 roughly of loans.
Yep.
How did you think through how much you could put towards your loans versus investing? Because I think a lot of people struggle and they wait 10 years until they paid off their loans before they start investing.
Yeah, that was a big like mental challenge for me to get through, because up until that point, it really was a lot about just get rid of debt as quickly as possible, which I think is a good strategy. Like, bad debt you should get rid of. But I saw, and again, just trusted the numbers and how this could accelerate and give just a much greater return. And I came up with, or we came up with, what amount we were comfortable paying off, which would allow us, I'm not debt free yet, but will allow us to get debt free in 5 years after graduation. And I said, I'm okay with that. We can get out of debt a lot sooner, but if we buy now, it's going to be advantageous. It'll start that snowball effect. We're also, I mean, the sooner you buy, the more appreciation benefits you, even just market savings. Appreciation, which you can't, you know, necessarily rely on in the short term. But if you're going for the long term, the sooner you get it, the better. So I think you just have to come up with something you're comfortable in terms of paying off your debt. And then just guilt-free, you can use the rest to invest in. I don't think I would ever recommend someone necessarily wait 10 years to start investing. You want to take that momentum and use it. You, again, it's all about finding some sort of balance that works for you. You don't want to ignore the debt altogether, but you want to get started. The other thing is, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add in the tax savings too, right? All those years that your wife's been getting reps, those tax savings, that would have been something you deferred.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. And then you start thinking, well, I'm taking out more debt while I'm investing, mm-hmm. but you have to realize again, that debt is not debt you're paying off. That's debt your tenants are paying off. And then people go, well, what if your tenants don't pay? And you say, well, that's why you build in all the numbers conservatively and you choose your tenants wisely and you have all the backups built in. But those were kind of the biggest hurdles to mentally get over.
Cool.
Awesome. So many great insights. Mm-hmm. So we always close our interviews with two questions. And the first one is, what is your definition of wealthy?
My definition of wealthy is being able to control your own time. I'm sure that's one you guys hear a lot, but I think that's ultimately the goal, is to be able to control your time and do what you want. And that's, for me, again, I'm not at financial freedom or anything yet, but I've gone far enough along the road to be able to a significant degree, control my own time and decide what I do and don't want to do. And it's amazing. That's what everyone deserves, what every physician certainly deserves for all of themselves that they give to their patients and everyone else. So that's, to me, wealthy.
Awesome. And what is one mindset, habit, or strategy that separates someone who is wealthy versus someone who is not?
I know that's a really good one. I think one of the biggest is not seeing life as a zero sum game, because that's 100% before I started on this whole journey, the way I saw life and money in particular, but life in general. If someone was winning, that meant someone was losing. And that is just 1,000,000% not how it is. And once you get into entrepreneurship and learning how you can grow, it's going to help other people grow, etc. And so that, to me, is a huge one.
Yeah, so amazing. That's the first time I've heard that one, but I love it, because so many of us as doctors, you know, like you mentioned earlier, feel so bad about money, right? And have so many limiting beliefs about money and feeling bad about making money. And then it holds us back, actually, to giving our Absolutely. Gifts to the world in a really big way. So I hope people who are thinking about entrepreneurship, who are physicians, or maybe have some mindset stuff around money, start working on that right away, because that's going to ultimately free you to do the kind of stuff that you've done.
Exactly.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Jordan. Can you tell us a little bit more about where people can find you?
Sure. Yeah. If you want to reach me, you can go to my website. It's prudentplasticsurgeon.com, or email me at jordan@prudentplasticsurgeon.com. Absolutely. But thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, so much fun. Thank you.
Of course.
The Doctors Building Wealth podcast provides information only and does not provide any financial, legal, tax, medical, or psychological services or advice.
You are responsible for your own financial, physical, mental, and emotional well-being, decisions, choices, actions, and results. You should contact a professional if you have any specific questions about your unique situation.